he didn't pay any federal income tax.
That makes me smart.
Does it? He's very smart. That Donald Trump. Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. I am. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM, Pacifica Radio in L.A., 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, up in Oregon on 91.7 FM KYAQ on the Central Coast and 106.7 FM Queso and Cottage Grove, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania on 93 FM WLRI, in Hawaii on 88.5 FM KAKU, the voice of Maui, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN 94.1 FM, in Palinville, New York on 102.9 FM WLPP, and in Minneapolis, St. Paul on AM 950 KTNF, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And yep, coast to coast and around the globe, streaming on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR Revolution 99, Detour Talk, Radio Monterey, and Radio Sputnik. This is the Bradcast. We are right here with you 5 days a week. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com. Thank you for joining us today. Man, oh man, what a week. What a week. What a news day. Got thoughts about any of it? We're going to open the phones today. If you got thoughts on the presidential debate on Monday night in Hofstra University, we described it on yesterday's program as a Trump wreck. I stand by that analysis at this time, but you may feel differently or you may agree. Give us a call, 818-985-5735. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what happened on Monday. More on that in a minute. We've got some breaking news here that I want to hit very quickly at the top of the show. At least 2 children and 1 teacher were shot on Wednesday at an elementary school in Townville, South Carolina. This is still a developing story. They are still treating patients. One of the children was life-flighted to Greenville Trauma Center, according to the Anderson County EMS director, Scott Stoller. The shooter is now reported to be a teenager, is in custody, according to Sheila Cole, spokesman for the Anderson County Sheriff's Office. Injuries to the children at the Townville Elementary School do not appear to be life-threatening, according to the Anderson County coroner, who is also an emergency medical technician out there. The father of the shooter, of the alleged shooter, has reportedly been killed. He was shot to death, according to officials. This is all just, as I say, coming together. Townville is in the extreme western part of the state, southwest of Greenville, South Carolina. Anderson County has a population of a little less than 200,000. The elementary school has about 280 students, and 30 school employees are listed on their website. So that is developing. We'll keep our eyes on that as well. Congress has now rejected Obama's veto on the 9/11 bill concerning Saudi Arabia. The House and Senate on Wednesday voted to reject President Obama's veto of legislation allowing lawsuits against foreign sponsors of terrorism in the first successful override of a presidential veto since Obama took office. The president had vetoed the legislation, according to USA Today, on Friday, because he said the bill, which is known as the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act, or JASTA, would infringe on the president's ability to conduct foreign policy. But after an intense, lengthy push by 9/11 survivors and families of victims who want to sue Saudi Arabia based on claims that the country played a role in the 2001 terror attack, even Obama's Democratic allies on Capitol Hill voted to override the veto. The House voted 348-77. Well above the two-thirds majority needed, and the final vote in the Senate was 97-1. Only Harry Reid voting against the override in this case. So that is breaking today. All right, we'll keep our eyes on other breaking news. Desi Doyen, you got your eyes on the news as it comes in?
Oh, indeed, I do.
Okay, promise.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. There's all a lot going on.
Because there is a lot going on. I've been focusing on this, still on the fallout from this debate, and yet all of this other stuff is breaking. So keep an eye on it for me, if you would, Des.
Will do.
All right, okay. And so, as I say, back to the Trump wreck of a debate on Monday night. Frankly, a disaster of proportions we have not seen in a presidential debate in this country, at least in my opinion. And apparently, a lot of people saw it. The showdown between Clinton and Trump was the most watched presidential debate ever. 84 million viewers tuned in. That now officially from the Nielsen Company, who said that viewership over 13 different networks toppled a record that had stood for 36 years. Previously, the record for viewership of a presidential debate was 80.6 million. So this beat it by about 3.5 million. 80.6 million watching the only debate in 1980 between the incumbent Democratic president at the time, Jimmy Carter, and his Republican challenger, Ronald Reagan. No debate since then has exceeded 70 million viewers until this one. And for what it's worth, Hillary Clinton's first presidential debate will more than double what her husband, former President Bill Clinton, received for his last presidential debate in 1996. Those numbers were a little over 36 million, according to AP. Only the Super Bowl commands a larger audience. The biggest audience in U.S. television history was the 2015 Super Bowl between New England and Seattle with 114 million. This was, 84 million viewers tuned in. Now, it's a little early. We haven't gotten a lot of polls following that debate yet. There was one on CNN on a snap poll that was done by CNN. I'm talking about the real polls, not these online polls that Trump was citing, where they send all of their people and they go click on it online and they vote over and over and over again for Donald Trump. No, real polls on the real polls. CNN found that viewers who watched the debate, which were heavily weighted towards Democrats, interestingly enough, on CNN's poll, as we discussed yesterday, they had Hillary Clinton had a 35-point advantage over Donald Trump in the CNN poll as far as who won the election. Now, it's going to take about 3 or 4 or 5 days for all of the real polls to start coming in, and we'll see what effect it has on the race. But this just in as we go to air, a new NBC News SurveyMonkey poll, and this is a real poll, finds who won the debate. Hillary Clinton won it with 52% saying she was the winner. And here's actually what's interesting. So 52% for Clinton, for Donald Trump, 21%. That would be considered a thumpin'. That said, this is what makes it even more of a thumpin'. Who won the debate? Neither won the debate, got 26%. In other words, in a two-person debate, Donald Trump came in third after Hillary Clinton and neither. So there's that. Also, while we're waiting for polls to come in to see what effect the debate actually had, the online betting market is able to react a lot quicker than the polls. And Hillary Clinton's probability of winning the White House gained in the online betting markets following the first debate on Monday night. A Clinton contract on the popular Predict-It betting market gained 6 cents from the previous day's level of 69 cents, while a contract favoring Donald Trump's prospects for victory tumbled 7 cents. So essentially, she picked up 13 cents overall. Contracts are priced from 0 to 100 cents, with the contract price equating essentially to the probability of whether that candidate will win the November 8 elections. These were the largest price swings for both candidates since early August. That's on the, the Betfair, the Predict-It site. Clinton's prospects also improved on the Irish betting site Paddy Power. About halfway through Monday's debate, she was shown as a 1-2 favorite. Those odds shortened to 4-9 in the moments after the debate. Trump's odds lengthened to 23-10 from 9-4. So the betting market still has their money on Hillary Clinton. Do you? 818-985-5735 is our phone number. The Arizona Republic has endorsed Hillary Clinton. The deeply conservative, I want to say deeply right-wing Arizona Republic, has endorsed the Democratic nominee for president for the first time in its 126-year history, labeling Donald Trump a, quote, reckless, divisive candidate who is wrong on immigration and ignorant on foreign policy. They write, in a nation with an increasingly diverse population, Trump offers a recipe for permanent civil discord, according to the editorial board at the Arizona Republic. In a global economy, he offers protectionism and a false promise to bring back jobs that no longer exist. America needs to look ahead and build a new era of prosperity for the working class. This is Hillary Clinton's opportunity, says the Arizona Republic, which has never in its life endorsed a Democratic candidate for president. We've been seeing this quite a bit lately. This happened, of course, with the Dallas Morning News a few weeks ago. The Cincinnati Inquirer did the same. Papers that constantly, year after year, election after election, endorse the Republican candidate for president, instead are choosing the Democrat. The New Hampshire Union Leader declined to endorse either major party. Instead, they're backing Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson in a pointed affront to Donald Trump. In my opinion, it's interesting because my opinion is now being shared by quote unquote conservatives, including conservatives at the New York Post, which has been backing Donald Trump for a long time. In regard to the debate on Monday, John Podhoretz, again, a right-wing columnist at the New York Post, said that Donald Trump was embarrassingly undisciplined. And due to the vanity and laziness that led him to think he could wing the most important 95 minutes of his life, he lost the thread of his argument, he lost control of his temper, and he lost perspective necessary to correct these mistakes as he went. By the end, Trump was reduced to a sputtering mess, blathering about Rosie O'Donnell and about how he hasn't said the mean things that about Hillary that he was thinking. That's from the right. From the left, Josh Marshall over at Talking Points memo says, yes, Donald Trump did badly, but she brought it at least as much as he blew it. He writes, this is getting lost with some people. Sure, he was bad, but she was at least as good as he was bad, and the quality of her performance made him much worse. She made it seem effortless. And yesterday we analyzed the debate in great detail and sometimes hilarious detail with Salon's Heather Digby Parton and David Dayan of the Fiscal Times. I would encourage you to download that show, frankly, and give it a listen if you missed it. You can grab it for free as ever at bradblog.com, at iTunes, at kpfk.org, at your favorite podcast site. In any event, today, as I said, I want to open up the lines to get your thoughts on the debate. Did it change the way you view the candidates, either of them that participated in the debate, namely Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? Or did it change your thoughts on the race itself? Here in Southern California, our phone number is 818-985-5735, but you can call us from anywhere, 818-985-5735. We have been discussing over recent weeks how the polls for Hillary Clinton have been collapsing of late with the race, at least as of Monday night, between Clinton and Trump largely tied nationally. Trump even taking a lead in a number of key swing states that had been considered just a few weeks ago to be Hillary Clinton states. CNN, for example, found that Donald Trump had taken a one-point lead in Colorado and had nearly tied Hillary Clinton in Pennsylvania after she had been leading by about five or more points in both of those states previously. As of Monday, as I've noted, if all of the states that were on Monday leaning towards Clinton and leaning towards Trump in the polls, if they all went that way, all but one, if just Colorado, for example, flipped from Clinton to Trump, then Donald Trump would be the next president. That's according, anyway, to the folks at 538.com. Who found that if the election had actually been held on Monday, Donald Trump was more likely than Hillary Clinton to win the presidency. That may have changed a great deal on Monday night. We'll get your thoughts on that. And of course, in addition to the polls, as we discuss frequently on this show, none of those polls reflects the effect of voter suppression, which is still going on in many Republican states, easily manipulated voting and tabulation machine, or even the machines, or the even the Bradley effect. No, not me, but the response that respondents give to surveys when they're too embarrassed to the pollsters, when they're too embarrassed to say they plan to support Donald Trump. I'm concerned about that. I think Donald Trump's support is actually a lot bigger than is reflected in the polls. And then, of course, not to mention the effect of terror attacks and so forth between now and Election Day. But speaking of the easily manipulated voting and tabulation systems, FBI Director James Comey says today that there have now been additional, quote, attempted intrusions into voter registration databases beyond what was previously known. Comey's comments come amid ongoing concern about the ability of hackers to breach voting systems. The FBI last month had warned state election officials to boost security. Well, good luck with that. In light of evidence that hackers had targeted related data systems in at least two states, in Illinois and Arizona, when it came to voter registration systems. Comey did not say today where the intrusions were or give any additional details, so that's all we know at this time, according to AP. Separately, at a congressional hearing on Wednesday, a Homeland Security official, says AP, attempted to assuage concerns about all of this, saying that the government has high confidence in the integrity of the U.S. electoral system. That Homeland Security official may not know the U.S. electoral system very well. So in any event, are you feeling better or are you feeling worse after that debate on Monday? What stood out to you about it? Did it change your view one way or another for the candidates or for the race? Our number is 818-985-5735. These are your public airwaves after all. So let's use them before you lose them more than you already have. Also, by the way, there's been quite a bit of discussion today since the debate. We didn't talk about this on the program, on the broadcast yesterday, about the woman who Hillary Clinton mentioned near the end, the 1996, I think it was, 1996 Miss Universe pageant winner, who was apparently berated by Donald Trump. He had purchased the Miss Universe pageant that year, and she was the first winner after he bought it. He had reportedly berated her for gaining weight after she won Miss Universe. He described her, she is Venezuelan, Alicia Machado, or Machado, I don't know how to pronounce it. She has since become an American citizen. He described her as Miss Piggy. He called her Miss Housekeeping. And since Hillary Clinton brought it up at the very end of the debate on Monday night, Donald Trump has been asked about it, and he has been doubling down on those attacks on this woman since the debate. Because, of course, he can't help himself. I'd love to hear from women callers on that point. If you'd like to ring in, do Trump's attacks on women, calling them fat pigs at various times, which Hillary Clinton has been focusing on quite a bit throughout, does any of that play into how you view this race? 818-985-5735 is our phone number. I know the phones are lighting up here. So I want to get to them momentarily. But I want to do one more story here before we get to our break, because a man who injured 9 people in a shooting rampage in Houston on Monday, this was completely lost amidst the presidential debate. But a man who injured 9 people in a shooting rampage in Houston on Monday was wearing military clothes and Nazi emblems. During the attack, he was carrying nearly 2,600 rounds of ammunition inside a Porsche convertible that was parked at the scene, according to authorities. The gunman, identified by local media as Nathan Desai, he was shot and killed by police after he opened fire on morning commuters near a strip mall. In a mostly residential neighborhood west of downtown, he was carrying a semi-automatic 45 caliber handgun. He was wearing military-style apparel with vintage Nazi emblems on his clothes and on his personal effects, according to police. Search of his apartment found a similar military memorabilia going back to the Civil War. A bomb squad that searched his black Porsche found a Thompson submachine gun, commonly known as a Tommy gun, and nearly 2,600 rounds of ammunition. Police said he purchased both of his firearms legally. They also found a sheathed knife, a notebook with a Nazi symbol, and 75 spent shell casings and so forth. 9 people, as I say, were injured in that attack. And frankly, it hadn't been out there at all with everyone paying attention to the presidential race and the fact that this guy apparently, the police chief here, acting Houston police chief Martha Montalvo, said, "At this point, we're very open-minded in terms of the motive," adding that the shooting did not appear to be an act of terrorism. Really? Really? You're shooting people? You're wearing Nazi emblems on your clothes and you're shooting people and that's not considered terrorism? No, apparently that's not considered terrorism because we've changed the definition of terrorism to mean things that are done by, Islamic radicals, apparently. That's terrorism. Nothing else is. Despite the fact that 9 people were injured during the shooting, luckily, as with the New York, New Jersey bombings last week, which I guess we're allowed to call terrorism, nobody was killed in either of those attacks. But the difference in the media attention to this incident in Houston, I think, is striking. I mean, it didn't even come up during the debate on Monday. I suspect a lot of listeners here hadn't even heard about it at all. I hadn't heard about it at all until they identified this guy as wearing Nazi patches on his clothes. I suspect we would have heard about it. I suspect it would have come up in the debate on Monday night if the shooter was named Muhammad or something. That, of course, despite years of law enforcement telling us over and over and over again that the greatest threat that they feel they face is from right-wing domestic extremists like the white guys who shoot up black churches and bomb abortion clinics or don Nazi paraphernalia while shooting at random victims on the roadway. Anyway, I wanted to just pull that out because so much is getting lost this week with the presidential debate and everything else. Understandably, that one is one that shouldn't get lost, but it will for political reasons. Anyway, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with your phone calls. 818-985-5735 is our number. I'm Brad Friedman and this is your Bradcast.
Well, I have much better judgment than she does. There's no question about that. I also have a much better temperament than she has. You know, I think my strongest asset, maybe by far, is my temperament.
I came in like a wrecking ball. I never hit so hard in love.
Yes.
All I wanted was to break.
Yes, I know we used that clip yesterday, but I love it that much. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Let's get to your calls. Let's get to your calls at the on the presidential debate, which I have described as a Trump wreck. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Mike in Lomita, welcome to the broadcast. What did you think of that debate on Monday, Mike?
Hi, Brad. Well, Monday I saw a flighty, hysterical woman debating Hillary Clinton. If a six-year-old behaved the way Donald did at school, they would be on drugs by now. But
yes,
maybe he was already.
Yes, he was doing quite a bit of sniffing, wasn't he, that night? I'm worried about his health. I hope he's okay. I hope hope Donald Trump doesn't die from whatever seems to be ailing him. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that call. Let's go to another Mike. All right, let's go to it's an all Mike show. Hey, Mike in Duarte, welcome to the broadcast. What is on your mind, sir?
Hey, Brad, just real quick, I think it's positively Orwellian that a monstrosity like Trump can have gone as far as he has. But the thing is, it's really scary. There are a lot of white bigoted people out there with irresponsible white famous people like Clint Eastwood, even who are supposed that people have a lot of admiration for, are supporting. When in the debate, I mean, why didn't the guy, the moderator, who I think did a horrible job, by the way, who didn't catch Trump on a lot of things, like he's saying, oh, it makes me a smart guy to not pay any taxes.
Right.
Or before we had to leave Iraq, we should have taken the oil first.
Right.
Or his other lies, which were countless. It was absolutely Orwellian. Now, I would have thought that maybe the moderator would have said something, or Hillary would have jumped on that. When he says, it makes me a smart person to not pay taxes, I don't know why Hillary didn't jump on that. I don't know why she didn't jump on him when he said that we should have taken the oil in if he's so Mr. Anti-globalism, what is he doing saying about taking Iraq's oil? When we know what happened in 1953 in Iran to control the oil, we deposed a democratically elected president and installed the Shah.
Mm-hmm.
It's Orwellian what's going on. It is terrifying. And what terrifies me is that there are a lot of idiot people, and yes, idiots who can make movies like Clint Eastwood, they're still idiots when it comes to politics, are going to maybe elect that man. I'm terrified that he's going to win.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate that. I appreciate the passion, and I think I share your terror in that case. 818-985-5735 is our number. We'll get back to the phones in a second, but since Mike brought this up, Trump's charitable foundation received $2.3 million from companies that owed money to Donald Trump or one of his businesses but were instructed to pay Trump's tax-exempt supposedly nonprofit foundation instead. This, once again, according to David Farenthold, who's been doing a fantastic job over at the Washington Post reporting on just extraordinary, frankly, criminal behavior by Donald Trump concerning his supposedly nonprofit, tax-exempt, taxpayer-subsidized charitable, and I had to put that in quotes, charitable foundation. Farenthold finds that among the people who owed Donald Trump money and were told to give it to the foundation instead, $400,000 from Comedy Central for a 2011 roast, payments totaling nearly $1.9 million from a man in New York who sells sought-after tickets and one-of-a-kind experiences to wealthy clients. That man, Richard Ebers, bought goods and services from Trump or his businesses and was instructed to pay the Trump Foundation instead. Now, under tax law, that can be done. That is allowable. These kind of arrangements are called assignment of income. Don't pay me, pay my charitable foundation instead. They're typically allowed as long as the person who was owed the money, as long as they still pay income taxes on it. But it appears, as Mike said, that Trump did not, in fact, pay income tax in the cases where he directed his own fees to the Trump Foundation. Actually, we don't know. We don't know if he paid taxes on that or not, but based on what he said, Mike is absolutely right. He's absolutely right. Trump said this twice. He seemed to indicate that he does not pay any taxes. So never mind, you know, reporting this stuff. He certainly didn't pay anything on it. Almost certainly he appears to pay nothing in taxes, as he admitted at that debate at Hofstra University. The issue came up a couple of times, And he certainly didn't deny not paying federal taxes, and he appeared to be proud of it. In fact, here's what Mike was referring to.
He didn't pay any federal income tax. So
that makes me smart.
That makes me smart. He didn't pay any federal income tax. That makes me smart. That's just amazing to me. And frankly, Hillary Clinton, Lester Holt, obviously they cannot reply to everything. I thought they both actually did a very good job in fact-checking Donald Trump on the fly. We talked, as I said, a great deal about that yesterday. Anyway, let's get back to your thoughts on this. Let me go to Erica in San Bernardino. Hey, Erica, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Brad. Nice to talk to you.
And to you, Erica. What did you think about the debate on Monday?
Okay, well, honestly, I'm a Bernie Democrat. He was my guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't work out for him. I really don't care for Hillary or Trump, but especially I don't care for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I did thought Hillary was composed and she went after Trump. But I just feel like America is turning into Idiocracy in real life, that movie. So
yeah.
All the people that are buying into Donald Trump, he's just a con man, he's just a second-rate entertainer, he's been in the media for over 30 years, and everything he says is out there, like proof of what the bullcrap that he puts out there is out there, and people just accept it. It's frustrating.
Well,
I don't know what's going to happen in this country.
I don't either. I don't either. And, you know, your support of Bernie aside, the primaries are over. There is, by and large, a binary choice. You know, I mean, people in what are considered to be safe states, I know, are thinking about third parties, and that's fine. But I don't know. As I said last week on the show, I don't know that there are any safe states out there. And when the dangers are someone like Donald Trump, well, I would say, you know, think carefully about that vote. Thanks, Erica. Really appreciate your call. Let me go. Oh, you got that other clip? Let me go to this clip 24, this other moment during the debate when Donald Trump seemed to confirm that he, unlike you and me, by the way, that he appears to pay no federal income taxes.
We have a country that needs new roads, new tunnels, new bridges, new airports, new schools, new hospitals. And we don't have the money because it's been squandered on so many of your ideas.
Let you
and
respond,
maybe
and we'll
because
move to our next...
you haven't paid any federal income tax for a lot of years.
It would be squandered too, believe me.
So, again, he seems to be confirming. The Republican nominee for president of the United States seems to be confirming that he pays no federal income tax. Kind of amazing, it seems to me. But again, this is about you. 818-985-5735. Let's go to Ali in West LA. Hey, Ali, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The moderator did a very bad job. He didn't cut Donald Trump off. He let Donald Trump to talk for like three, four, five, six, 7 minutes.
The moderator, Lester Holt, you're talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He didn't cut him off. And you know, my advice to Donald Trump is just grow up, be a man. When you say something, stick by it. You know, because it's worse that he denies it, then they fact check, and then they find out that yeah, he did lie. So he should grow up, and he acted like a 16-year-old. And regarding the Iran thing, that he kept saying that they gave money to Iran and they let the Iran have nuclear. He doesn't. I don't know. Nobody gives him a right advice, so he doesn't read. I don't think he reads any books. They still put sanctions on Iran. Iran is under sanctions. EU and US, mm-hmm. they put Iran sanctions on Iran. So Iran doesn't have any nuclear weapons. It's not. They closed down the centrifuge, and they still have sanctions on Iran. So I don't understand what he's talking about. He keeps saying that you guys are dealing with Iran. You know, he just doesn't understand that. And John Warner today, he said that voting for Trump would be would be like disservice to the military.
John Warner, foreigner, he was a veteran, I believe, a former U.S. Senator, Republican U.S. Senator from Virginia, John Warner, who has, in fact, endorsed Hillary Clinton. And good for him. Yeah. Appreciate
time in his life. Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Ali. I want to get to a bunch of folks. I'll just underscore one point here. That money that went back to Iran, that was money. That was their money. That was money that had been frozen since the 70s. And it was part of this deal, part of the big nuclear deal. That money was finally returned to Iran. As far as Lester Holt letting Donald Trump go on and on, my opinion, I think it was smart. He did fact check him on a few things, but I thought it was smart to let both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump go on and on as they see fit. And that was in part, by the way, due to the fact that Donald Trump would not agree to rules, that they usually have secret rules that the candidates sign off on and agree to concerning time and so forth. In this case, it was all left up to Lester Holt because, you know, Donald Trump apparently doesn't care for rules, so there were none. And I thought it was kind of a smart move to let them go at it and let America see who these two people are. And I think we got a good picture of that, at least in my opinion. Maybe not yours. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Let me go to Jerry in Sylmar. Hey, Jerry, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, thanks. Listen, I'm kind of an old guy, so I've watched this game that they played. I believe one of the Kochs ran for president in the 70s, and since he lost, what they did was they switched over to the long game, mm-hmm. started taking over school boards, started dumbing down the textbooks and cutting education funding, and that's how America got so religious and so stupid. And once they're stupid, they could feed them anything. It coincided with Nixon's Southern strategy. And that's how we got where we are today. People are so dumb, and they're working so hard, sitting in front of that TV as their only entertainment, and they swallow whatever is fed to them. Donald Trump's a reality star. They say, sure, I'll vote for him. Why not?
Let me just disagree with you on one point, Jerry. I don't think that people are dumb. I don't think they're stupid. I think they are misinformed. I think they are purposely misinformed and disinformed by our terrible media. I think the American people are actually pretty smart, but when they're given stuff and nonsense,
Let me disagree with you on something. I'm a school teacher.
Yeah.
And I've watched it happen. The standards keep going down. We don't nurture these young minds. They have no imagination. They flip on the TV. They're staring at phones. I'm still doing it, right? They're staring at phones all day. That makes you dumber. Reading books makes you smarter. They don't do that anymore. And that lands them right in the lap of the Republican Party.
Yep.
It really does. It really does. I wish it wasn't that way, but we're stuck with it. We've got to educate our people better. We got to get them reading. You know?
Reading. There's an idea. Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate that call. Drive safely out there. 818-985-5735. Let's go to G. And I got a lot of men on the line. If you're a woman, we'll put you right to the front here. Let me go to because I want to get some thought. You know, any thoughts about this entire this attack on Miss Housekeeping? Miss Piggy, as Donald Trump apparently called his own Miss Universe for having the temerity to gain some weight after she won the crown. G.S. in San Leandro, welcome to the broadcast, G.S.
Yes, thank you very much. Longtime listener, sponsor of the whole Pacific of Enterprise.
Thank you for that, sir.
Oh, absolutely. No, I've done volunteer work. Anyway, I'll sum it up in what I want to end with. All you have to do is a straight, simple web search for Fresh Air NPR. Fresh Air NPR. Today's show, Terry Gross interviewing that journalist you referred to. Journalist says Trump Foundation may have engaged in self-dealing.
Yeah.
So that's the one. And so my little short list.
And that's let me just tell people what self. Well, that was sure. David Farenthold is the journalist. And we talked about it in detail on last week's show. The self-dealing part of his charitable foundation. was that he was essentially using it as a slush fund for his legal problems, for his personal and business legal problems. He wasn't putting any of his own money into it. It was coming from other people. But then he was taking that money, taking that cash, and using it to settle lawsuits, which is completely illegal if he's using the money from his own charitable foundation to settle his business and personal lawsuits. Anyway.
Yeah, I think the IRS is going to have something to say about it. But demagogue, you know, con man, but all around unethical fellow is what I would say.
I would say so, too. Thanks, GS. appreciate the call. Let's go to Ed in Los Angeles. Hey, Ed, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. I have two comments. One, I certainly agree with you about the moderator. You have to remember that the debate, the purpose of the debate was not to talk to your own base, but for Trump. Mm-hmm. But to try to get the educated white vote, mm-hmm. which he certainly didn't do. And since he's his own worst enemy, by strategically letting, you know, when he went off the rails, letting him go on and on, you see the response from all your callers, okay? So his people, no matter what he says, they won't change their mind. But he didn't change anyone else's mind. And he informed the public very well mm-hmm. about the real Donald Trump. So I think the moderator did an excellent job. I certainly believe that Hillary won the debate, but I wondered why she didn't do or say something that to me seems so obvious.
What's that?
Trump's one valid issue
yeah.
is the trade agreements. And what she should have done when he started on that, and, you know, oh, yeah, you know, you were for them until you were against them and stuff like that, you know, she could have said, you know, I agree with many of the issues that you bring up about those trade agreements, mm-hmm. and those were the very same issues that made me change my mind. But you also said you're going to bring back jobs. You know, and bring back.
Well, this is a point
from overseas.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring back Trump Industries business? That, you know, all the products that are being made overseas. Mm-hmm. Are you going to bring them back to the United States? Is that how you're going to bring back jobs?
And of course, he won't. But they do have two more debates to sort that out if Donald Trump decides to show up for those two debates. Rudy Giuliani.
I don't see how he cannot show up.
Rudy Giuliani, one of his surrogates, is advising him against it. So we'll see. Ed, I appreciate the call. Thanks for...
The only person who says dumber things than Trump or has dumb things is Rudy Giuliani.
You're right.
And I'm the next New Yorker.
Me too. I hear you, Ed. Thanks. I appreciate that. Let's go to Susan, who is hopefully driving very carefully on the 91 freeway in Los Angeles. Hey, Susan, welcome to the broadcast. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you. I wanted to tell you, first of all, that I think your show is great.
Thank you.
And I appreciate the topic.
Thank you.
With regard to Lester Holt, I think he did a fine job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can all be armchair quarterbacks, but he had a very, very difficult job to do, and I thought that it played out really well. In the beginning, we were told that there wasn't going to be ongoing fact-checking during the debate.
Mm-hmm.
There couldn't possibly handle as much as there needed to be.
Right.
And so Secretary Clinton told us that, you know, check her website, no fact-checkers. So I was fine with that. And so I think that part was just fine. The issue that I wanted to raise is that, with, you know, Donald Trump's businesses, I believe most of them are private enterprises, not publicly traded.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot you can do with private financial statements that you can't do when you are publicly traded.
Yep.
And so the importance of those tax returns cannot be understated. It's very, very important.
There's...
You can't can't tell what his true assets versus liabilities are.
Nope.
Unless you see the actual tax return.
Will he ever release them, Susan? He has been saying he will. He absolutely will. He pretends he can't because of the IRS audit. Will he ever? Is there a chance in hell he's ever going to release those income taxes?
I don't believe he will. And I think that if it turns out that he has a huge tax liability, and that if he has huge losses, and he's in a deficit spending mode himself, then, you know, that would kill the election for him. And I'd be only too happy to see that happen. But, and you know, would the Republican Party have to pick up some of that debt in order to make him whole? They might.
Yeah.
You know? So I think there's just too much at stake, and it's never going to happen.
Thanks, Susan.
I want to say one more thing.
Quickly.
I want to say one more thing about the emails deleted.
Yeah.
I deleted 4,000 emails from my phone just on Saturday while I was getting my hair done.
Right.
How many do you delete on a daily basis? You know, if you deleted that many in a week for all the years that Secretary Clinton was in office, how many would that be?
Well, yeah, but the point being that was a mistake that she brought on herself, a problem that she brought on herself, because those are supposed to be public records if you're doing business for the federal government. And had she just, either turned all of them over, which would have been a problem for her, or separated business from personal, she wouldn't have this problem that she brought on herself. I believe it's stuff and nonsense by and large. They've reconstructed the emails. They can find no real problem, with what she did. But, you know, that was her own mistake, I think. Anyway, Susan.
Well, how could you follow up your email? Thanks a lot.
I appreciate the call, Susan. Thank you very much. Let me get to a break. We'll come back with more of your calls. D.R. Tucker tweets me at the Brad blog to say, glad to hear that caller call out Clint Eastwood for backing Trump. Adding, frankly, I agree 1,000% with the point the other caller made about the dumbing down of America. I'm not sure if I agree with that. Well, I guess it's dumbed down if they are miseducated. I don't believe that the people are dumb, but the media, the corporate media, is doing a terrible job of doing what they are supposed to do, which is to inform the electorate. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with more of your calls, 985-5735. I'm Brad Friedman. This is the Bradcast. Don't touch that dial. Certainly is. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. The heat may be on. The globe may be warming. We may be in big, big trouble, but we won't have Desi Doyen on to talk about it today. No Green News Report today because of the, the debate earlier this week, because of the Trump wreck debate.
Yes, it was quite busy.
But we'll have another Green News Report tomorrow or the next day, so I will look forward to that.
Yes, we will.
Okay, promise?
Yes.
Okay. Because it is getting hot, because it's been over 100 degrees out here this week in Los Angeles in where are we? Late September. Anyway, taking your calls, 818-985-5735 on the Trump wreck of debate. Maria in Altadena, welcome to the Bradcast.
Hi, my name's Maria. I'm calling regarding everybody blames Trump, and I don't blame Trump. I'm really upset at the American people.
Yeah.
We're the ones that elect these presidents. We're the ones that make decisions. If we can't see that backhanded insult to everyone in the U.S. about him not paying federal taxes, then we deserve a president like Trump.
Mm.
We really do. Because that was an insult. I pay my taxes. I'm a good citizen. Why can't we be treated with respect? He's very disrespectful. And they want to vote for him?
Apparently so.
Is this what you want?
Apparently so. That is, it's amazing to me, but it's not a surprise to me. As I said, on June 16th, 2015, when he got in the race, When everyone else thought it was a joke, I said, hey, people, be very careful. He is the id of the Republican Party, of what has become of the Republican Party. He is simply saying out loud what it is that Fox News and, frankly, too many in the non-right-wing media have conned this country into believing. And they fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And the people in the media never thought, oh, he's not going to, you know, they're not going to fall for that. Of course they will fall for it. And I would add, Maria, they could still fall for it on Election Day. I know the Democrats. Go ahead.
He's saying exactly what everybody wants to hear. We want more jobs. We want our jobs to stay here. We want better programs. We want better this. And of course, he's going to feed us. He's spoon feeding us. He's spoon feeding us. Yes, I'm going to do this for you. And yes, I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to put a wall. I'm going to transport illegals out of here. No, he can't do that. The economy would have a major meltdown with a lot of these issues, a lot of them. He has Japan on edge. He has South Korea on edge. They're watching our program, our presidential debate, more than we are.
Yep.
More than we are.
Yep. Thanks, Maria.
And if that doesn't scare you, if these countries who are on a constant tightrope regarding their position with the U.S. or with their non-allies, if they're on a tightrope and they look to us for strength and character and fortitude, and we put a Trump. Good luck.
Good luck indeed. Thanks, Maria. I appreciate the call. We got time for a few more here. 818-985-5735. Let's go to Gian, also in Altadena. Hey, Gian, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Brad. I think all the buffoonery of Trump and everybody's kind of moral indignation and finger wagging at Trump is sort of distracting from the fact that the Democrats have become the party of power. And you have, what alternative do you have? There is only one candidate running in this election. Trump is not a viable candidate on the far right, and on Jill Stein or whatever her name is totally disorganized on the far left.
Jill Stein of the Green Party, Gary Johnson of the Libertarian Party. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, these people have no chance at power. So what you have is the Democrats have totally co-opted the center over the past 30 years, and they will say anything they have to the corporate sector because that is their masters. And this is the boat that I think the whole liberal echo box is missing because they're so focused on Trump.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. And I understand why they're focused on Trump. At least I understand why voters, and you hear the callers today, why they are concerned about Trump. If that leaves you with a Hillary Clinton as a viable option, I'm no fan of Hillary Clinton. But
He's obviously a ridiculous candidate.
Yep.
And he's not a realistic candidate.
Yep. Well, apparently he is. He has the nomination. Thanks, Gian. I want to try to get in a couple of quick calls here before we got to get out. Apparently he is a realistic candidate. He is the actual nominee. Yes. Wake up and notice, people. Let's go to Kelwin in Los Angeles, speaking of third-party candidates. Hey, Kelwin, welcome to the broadcast. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, Brad. How you doing? Well, just makes me sad. I mean, I listened to the debate, but I listened to the one that had Jill Stein rooted in there as the third candidate, where they did a beautiful job of editing it in, and she answered the same questions, because the debate with the two of them, with Hillary and the Donald, was just like two egos going head to head, and it wasn't a lot of substance. I think it was like four sentences where anybody said anything of substance in the whole thing. It was all two egos fighting each other, and there was nothing there except vote for me because you got to be afraid of the other one. And, you know, it's like, for me, the idea of voting for anybody for fear is crazy, and the fact that whether or not we have viable candidates, we can't, you know, the Democratic and the Republican parties control the corporation that decides who gets to be in these debates, and whether or not a candidate's got 3% or 10%, we need to have these inputs in there. We need to hear true things, because right now, people are talking seriously about Donald and seriously about Hillary, when Hillary, to me, is somebody who just wants to send my boys to fight profit wars for empire, while Donald talks a lot of bigoted crap and sounds real ugly. But the choice between one who's already policies have already killed millions, or one who's talking about killing a few hundred thousand or millions, is crazy to me.
Thanks.
And I want people to really think about what they're doing out there and what they're choosing, because the things, if we respond out of fear, and all I hear is fear, 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 fear.
Yeah.
If we respond out of fear, we will always get more of what we fear.
Kellen, I appreciate the call. Great points. Greatly appreciated. I got to get out. Let me get one more on the way out. You got 10 seconds. Nick from Northridge. Very quickly, you got 10 seconds. Go, Nick.
Hey, Brad. Well, I just wanted to say that the education system in the country is being gamed by both parties, and we are being held in thrall by the television for the gain of the wealthy.
Thanks, Michael. I got to go. I got to go watch some television tonight. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to my soundboard operator today, G, and, of course, to you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can download it, as ever, for free at bradblog.com. Drop me email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com, or find me on the Facebooks and the Twitters at TheBradBlog. Yes, we will be back with you tomorrow. Until then, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.